Father, I pray that you would just give us grace as we go through this to be able to learn and grow from it. And thank you for your word, how you've recorded all of history, at least the parts you need us to know, that really ties everything together. And thank you for each one here that has expressed a desire to learn this today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The first page here, let me turn on the microphone out there. There we go. The first page is just a review of Genesis 5, the genealogy there. So you can see there's 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Okay? What I also want you to see here, it gives Adam and then it gives the age, that how old he was when he had the son Seth, and then how much more he lived after he had Seth and his total age. So notice the age is all the way down. They're pretty consistent overall. Lamech died very young at 777. Not sure why, but everyone else is in the near 900 or well over 900. Other than Enoch, who walked with God and God took him. So he was away at 365. Okay, so flip the page now. And now you have generations 11 through 19, and actually 20 is on there as well. And what I want you to do, the verses are on the left-hand side. And what I want you to do is we want to fill out the rest of this chart. Now, this is the genealogy of Shem to Abram, eventually known as Abraham, right? And what we want to do is kind of document the ages, because we're going to look at, just as part of our lesson, the drastic change in the ages of people, okay? So let's go ahead and do that. Generation 11, I'll read it. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad, great name for a son, 2 years after the flood. After he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Okay, so what was his age when he had Arphaxad? 100, and I couldn't really tell if it was 100 or 102 because of the way it says it was 2 years after the flood. Because remember, unless Noah's sons were not actually triplets, right? So 100, 102. How long did he live afterwards? 500 years. How long to get total? 600, right? Okay, that's what we're doing, okay? The next passage here, the next generation is Arphaxad. He lived 35 years and begot Selah, or sometimes it's Shelah in different, like in 1 Chronicles 1. After he begot Selah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. So it's going down again. So how old was he when he had Selah?
35,
okay. So, and how long did he live afterwards? 403, so that comes to a total of what? 438, okay? So he lived a total of 600 years, 438 years. Now Selah, generation 13, Selah lived 30 years and begot Eber, and after he begot Eber, Selah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. So help me out. Selah had Eber when he was what? 30 years old. How long did he live after that? Three, kind of a stuck record there, isn't it? Okay, how long together? 433. Now notice, the lowest we had was 777 in the first generations, other than Enoch, and we're not counting him because he didn't live out his life. God took him to heaven, right? So notice, it's already drastic, but we're not done yet, okay? Generation 14, Eber lived 34 years and we got Peleg. After he got Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. So help me out here. How long did he live? 34. How long afterwards? I'm sorry. 430. So then that is actually a bump up a little bit. 464, right? Is my math correct? Okay. So generation 15. Peleg lived 30 years, begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Notice, these aren't the only children. And in fact, they're not their firstborn either. They're just tracing the line down to Abram. So, for instance, Arphaxad, I think, is the third son, if you look in 1 Chronicles, of him. But that's when Arphaxad was born, okay? So Peleg here, how old was he when he begot Reu? How old?
30.
30,
3-0. 209.
So now we're at 239, aren't we? Isn't that just, that's a third of the age. No, even less than a third of the age, right? If people live in 900 years, 300 years would be less than a third, okay? Reu, generation 16. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. After he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. So, Reu, how long did he live before he begot Serug?
32.
How long afterwards? 207. So, he lived 239 also. Is that correct? Okay. 17th generation from Adam. Okay, actually the 17th generation counting Adam. Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. And after begot Nahor, Sarah lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. So, where are we at here?
30.
200. So he's down to 230, right? Okay, so the 18th generation. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. So how long did Nahor live before he got Terah? 119. What does that make it? 148? Wow. What is that? 6 times less length? And we think 148 is a lot. All right? Okay. 19th generation. Now, this is the last part. It's a little longer because Terah is Abram's father. And that's what they're trying to do. They're establishing who Abraham is, or Abram, eventually Abraham. And they're tying him in all the way to, essentially, to Adam, right? By connecting him to Seth, they're tying him in to Adam. Now, Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So I'm going to put 70 here. He got married late. Or, if you understand it, Sarah was a half-sister of Abraham. So Terah could have had a wife before or after, right, in this. Or even at the same time, I suppose. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So it looks like Abram was the oldest of the three. Haran begat Lot, which we'll see soon, right? And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. So where were they? In Ur, okay? Of the Chaldeans, which is near the Arabian Gulf? Okay? So it's the east side of, Iraq. Okay? And Haran died before his father in his native land, so that they were in Ur at the time. Then Abram and Nahor, the two remaining sons, took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran. So she was his niece. Is that correct? All right? The father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. I'm not sure who Iscah is, but so Nahor married his niece, which again, back then, that was okay. That was fine, okay? You could marry your half-sister and all that. There was no... Next Sunday during Sunday school, Ken Ham will address a lot of this, okay? Why they could do it then and not now and all that. Cain married his sister, you know, as did all of the sons of... All the sons of Adam did. Had to. There was nobody else, right? But it was okay then. So he'll explain it next week in detail. Very good. Some of us have watched the video at a poor quality. We're going to watch the good quality video next Sunday during Sunday school. Excellent video. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took his, so verse 31 now, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and son, the son of Haran, so this is Abram's nephew, Terah's grandson, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of where? Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there, which was not in Canaan, by the way. So they didn't make it. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So let's finish this out first. He lived 205 more years. So he lived to be 275. All right? Now, question so far. The 20th is Abraham's generation. I wrote it here. It's the 20th generation. Okay? So, and I checked it even in the First Chronicles passage, but Noah was 10 generations down, including Adam. So Adam was the first. Noah was the 10th generation. To give you an idea of our history, we're all descended from Adam. We're all descended from Noah. Now, we're descended from one of Noah's sons, but here it's Shem who Abram descended from. And Abram is 20 generations. He's the 20th generation, including Adam. I don't want to say from Adam, because then it sounds like we're not counting Adam. Counting Adam, Abram's 20 generations from history. Okay? So it's history from the very Garden of Eden down to Abram. Yes. Oh, does it say that? Did I get it wrong? So I got it wrong in my notes. Yeah, so his total was 205. So in other words, good catch, Dory. So in other words, it doesn't say he lived 205 more years. It says his total years were 205. So we could fill that in, but with some math, but 135 years. It said the days of Terah were, so that's kind of like his full age. So okay, good catch for that. By the way, Abram lived less than 200. Yeah, I had it on here and then I took it off because I needed the space for my chart. Now, look at the observations here. Number one, Noah was the 10th generation from creation, okay? And Abram was the 20th. Okay, that's right down here in the bottom of your notes, just to the left of the chart is number one, okay? The longevity of mankind after the flood greatly diminished. In other words, people lived much, and there's a space there, less longer. Yep, number two. There's a people live much less longer. There's a line there, I think, that you need to fill in there. And another point, by the way, look at the chart to the right. I put this all out in a spreadsheet and then created a graph. And you can see, mine's in blue, but you can see how much it's just pretty much stable other than Lamech. And Enoch is the one way down there. But otherwise, they were pretty much up around the high 900s, okay, until Noah. And then all of a sudden, Noah plunged to 600. Wait, that's not true. I'm looking at the wrong one. Noah lived to be 950. But after Noah, Shem plunged to 600. So what we're saying here is what we said before in previous lessons, that whatever happened during the flood seemed to permanently change our environment here on Earth, so that it started breaking down our DNA, our cells, so we don't live nearly as long. I mean, no one around here is thinking 600 is a tragically short death. And yet Shem dying at 600 would have been kind of like, wow, how devastating of a low level of living, right? And then after him, it just keeps going down. You can see the chart. It kind of bumps up a little bit for Eber. But then down to... Did I get Terah right? I think I got Terah right on my other chart. Okay, because the chart looks like he's right at around 200. And then Abram is even less than that. I can't remember what his was. 175. And Isaac doesn't live as long as that. And Jacob bemoans the fact when he's talking to Pharaoh that few were his days compared to his father's. Jacob is only so many generations away from the flood. Okay? And the fathers kept lowering in their age even. All right. Flip the page. There's only one more page. This is the same passage outlined. Just the third page. I'm sorry. Number three is real. Yeah. The idea here is, I believe that God put all this in here so you understand that this is actual history. Okay? This isn't just mythological guessing or something. It's real history. And you get some more detail in different genealogies in different parts of the Bible, but here they are. Abram is only the 20th from Adam. Okay? Noah was the 10th from Adam as far as genealogy. Now, I'm going to pass this around. Don't get too caught up in it. But this, the gentleman that we've been watching the last couple, well, we've watched several, Holvin, on Wednesday nights, this is his chart. But the idea is here, you can see the longevity, the length of life. This goes down to Joseph, actually, okay? So I don't include him on there. I guess I could have just looked at my chart for Abraham, but I'm not that smart. But look at how long the lines are and all of a sudden how short they get. But also, he makes some observations. But like for Lamech, when Lamech was born, everybody all the way back to Adam was still alive. Because of the length. So Lamech was, what, ninth. When he was alive, all of his grandfathers all the way back to Adam were still alive. That gives you an idea of longevity. And you can imagine the population that could grow. And also, population is affected by how many people don't die also, right? So the population would have been pretty massive before the flood. And then you look, here's the flood. I think he's a little too exact on his numbers because you could be adjust up to almost 2 years either way based upon age, you know, 364 days either way. So, but it's still probably within like 40 years. Okay, of accuracy. I don't know that I could say that this exactly occurred on this date because of the little bit of variation. You're born only on one day and there's a lot of year before and after it, usually, okay? So, but I'll just pass this around, but it tells you how old they were when their son was born. That's the dark blue. And then how much time they lived all together. So you can just pass that around. Yeah, Josh. Sarai was one of Terah's daughters. Yes. But in Abraham, I actually say it a little later in here. I think I document it in our notes as we go on. But Sarah was Abram's half-sister. They had the same father, but not the same mother. Okay? So that's... And I think I actually give you the passage for that pretty soon here. Okay, so go ahead.
What if this is just an assumption again, and I'm not going to get off the speculation, but it's an assumption that there was not a problem with a polygamous relationship or polygamous marriage at that time because that...
The issue was there's nothing you can say that says there's not a problem. It was outside of the design of God in the Garden of Eden. So it was obviously wrong. It was obviously outside the design. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It happened even within the patriarchs. It happened with the kings and all that. But it in no way affirms that is right. God made one man, one woman in the Garden of Eden.
I'm saying is we're getting into an age today.
Oh, they're fighting for polygamous marriage now.
Where they're looking to justify it. And the thing is, they'll throw out, this is the way it was.
Oh, most definitely. There's a lawsuit already out there now that homosexual marriage is seen as being positive or approved, that now they're trying to say polygamous marriage. Yes. And it will not stop till you can marry your child, your dog, or whatever, because you've removed the biblical definition of marriage and the biblical purpose of marriage. You don't like that. I think just key people. If you hand it back real quick. What the boxes are, if you hand it to me real quick, I'll hand it back to you. But what the boxes are is basically saying Basically, there's only five generations or four generations that actually connect. Like that they would be alive when all the way back was alive kind of thing. So when you get down to Abraham, you're only talking like four people that would actually make the connection all the way back to Adam. So it's not just the descendancy, but great, 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 great grandpa was alive and I knew him and he knew someone back here, Lamech or Noah, and it goes all the way back to Adam. So that's the connection there. So not an emphasis we're making today. But okay, number four, pretty easy, but Abram's father was Terah. Okay? We're just kind of stating the obvious. Abram. By the way, Terah started out in Ur. It's like this. Here's Ur. The Tigris and the Euphrates are kind of there. And the Gulf is there. It's somewhere. I think Ur is actually a little over to the side. They go up to Haran. Now, Haran, did they start the city? We don't know. Because it's named after his son, the same name as his son, so they could have. That's all speculation doesn't say. Canaan's over here. So they only got like halfway. And then they stopped. Why did they stop? We don't know. We haven't got to God appearing to Abraham. It actually comes back later and explains in Genesis 12 what happened. But some people say, it's possible to say, well, God appeared to Abraham, so Terah said, well, I'll go with you. Because they were headed to Canaan. Well, they get up to here and Haran and they quit. So then Abraham continues on to Canaan with Lot, right?
After Haran dies.
After Terah dies. So Haran's here, and then Canaan area here, okay? So, number five, Abraham had two brothers, Nahor, who apparently stayed in Ur, right? And Haran, who died in Ur before they ever left.
Is there some relationship between the town?
Well, that's what we said. Did they found this town, or was it just a common name? We don't know. Possible that he went there and started the town, or could have been a town already there. They settled there until Terah died. I wonder if his middle name was Dactyl.
Oh, brother.
Wah, wah. Something with Pterodactyl. I don't know.
Don't give up your details.
Okay. One brother died. Who was that? Haran, okay? We're just kind of following through outlining what's going on here. We're observing things. Abram's wife was Sarai. Later changed to Sarah, right? But not till later. Just like Abram's name was changed to Abraham much, much later, okay? This is where it. I have it in the notes here. Genesis 20:12. I should have, well, I don't know. Genesis 20:12. Abraham, he doesn't lie about his wife. But he says to Sarah, whenever we go places, you're beautiful, you say that you're my sister, or they'll kill me and take you for their wife. Okay? And that actually happens twice. She's taken twice. Genesis 20:12. It says here, Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us, and how have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." I mean, here's an unbeliever raking Abram over the coals. Then Abimelech said to Abram, I guess he's named Abraham now, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. They will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." Okay, so she's his half-sister, right? And again, we think, how horrible now. As Ken Ham will tell you next week, the issue is not marrying a relative. Everyone marries relatives. Because we're all descended from the same dude, right? Noah? The issue is the distance, and that wasn't regulated until the law was given. And Ken Ham will explain that in detail next week. Very awesome DVD that you'll see next week. So it's worth seeing. If you saw it before, it's worth seeing again. Okay? If you saw it 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night. Abram's wife was barren. She could bear no children. Number 8. Terah left Ur with 3 people. Probably more, obviously, but we're talking about relatives here, not his servants or whatever, and who knows. We're just guessing there. But Terah left with 3 people to travel to. Number 9 is Canaan. That was their original destination. And again, did he say, "Well, if God spoke to you, I'll go with you"? It could very well be, because God spoke to Abraham in Ur. So Terah might say, "Well, I'll go with you." Okay? The 3 main people that went with Terah are Abram, Lot, and Sarai. Okay? And again, that sets us up for Genesis 12. It tells us who people are, and it also sets us up for what happens later on with Abraham and Sarah. Okay? And number 10. Terah never made it to Canaan, but settled and died in Haran. Questions or comments? It's kind of a matter-of-factly lesson, but the idea is Abraham's a real person that descended from Adam through Noah, through Shem, on down. Some people even think they don't know where the word Hebrew came from, but some people speculate that the word Eber is that form of that. Okay? The Hebrews, the Eberites or whatever, okay? So certain people there. But it's only 20 generations from Adam. So you have... We've covered... Any idea how much time we've covered? If you're guesstimating time, roughly creation's around 4,000 BC. Abraham shows up around, as Dory says, around 2,000 BC. So the world is recent in history as the way the Bible presents it. Around 1,000, 1440 BC is the Exodus. I think I'll just put that there. Exodus. David reigns about 1,000. Isaiah, about 700 years before the time of Christ. The first captivity, most of you can't see this, 722 BC. The last captivity is 586 BC. Okay, so, I mean, we're not talking that far. It hasn't been that long. We haven't been around that long. And there's time all the way along. There's no reason to think it's illegitimate or mythological. Here's real people. Okay? And then somewhere around 6 BC is really when Jesus was incarnated, because of the calendars all kind of goofed up. We didn't get it quite right, but close. So that's pretty good. Now, some of you are familiar with my 12-point Bible overview. There's 12 points. 8 points for the Old Testament, 4 points for the New. Okay? There's 4 events. That's all in Genesis 1 through 11. You've just covered 2,000 years. The second one's all in Genesis. It's 4 people. Who are those 4 people? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. 4 events are creation, fall, flood, Babel. That's kind of a quick overview. We covered a lot more than just 4 events. We covered Cain and Abel, for example. Okay, but 4 events, creation, fall, flood, Babel, 4 people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. You're still in Genesis, but that shows you how much Genesis covers. Genesis is a huge chunk of our history. Okay? If we live 4,000 years, we were created somewhere around 4,000 years before, it's a third of our history of the human race. And yet, a lot of modern-day churches and schools have rejected Genesis as mythological. Do you think it has no bearing on who we are and what we do based upon that? It's huge. It identifies everything that we are and traces the issues down to here we are today. And even the promise for Abraham that applies to us in a salvation way. By you, all the nations of the world will be blessed, is a blessing that he received. We fit into that. So Abraham is discussed a lot in the New Testament. Romans 4:5, I quoted to you today, unto him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, is in the context of what Abraham believed when he got saved. In Genesis 15. Okay, it all ties together. 4 events, 4 people. My brain's so blank. 4 events, 4 people. Moses, that's a 5-letter acronym. Joshua, Judges, Kings, Captivity, Return. I just quoted the entire history of the Old Testament for you. I'm going to do that again. So we have hand signals and all that. We've learned that before. Pastor Sean just wrote me and asked me for that. He's going to teach it down. Let me do it real quick. We might do this as a review or something soon. So, yeah, it's anything actually on the chart. But it's like this. There's 8 in the Old Testament. I went to walk through the Bible. You ever heard of that? It's like there's 70-some points in the Old Testament. And I'm thinking, there is no possible way this puny pea brain is going to remember that. 70-some points, and we haven't even covered the New Testament. And I'm like, I tell people I have two brain cells, and one of them keeps me alive. And if I think hard, I have a hard time breathing.
Yes, don't think so hard, okay?
But it's four events. That's from Walk Through the Bible. And I we have symbols and all that now. We've taught to the kids and everything. But creation, how is it? Creation, fall, flood, Babel, or separation, right? Four people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Moses is mass. It's the rest of the Pentateuch. Mass exit, ordinances given, the Ten Commandments. Spies sent. They reject that, so it's extended wandering. That's the E in Moses. And then S is Deuteronomy, second law. Then Joshua, draw strength. I can't explain them all right. Defeat, divide, decide. Choose you this day whom you serve. Judges, sin, slavery, savior, sin, slavery, savior. There's seven cycles of sin, slavery, and salvation. And the last judge and the first prophet is Samuel, who ordained the first
king.
So it's kings, and it's Saul, David, Solomon. It's SDSD. Saul, David, Solomon, divided kingdom under Rehoboam. What happened to the kingdoms? They're led into captivity. The northern kingdom led away in 722 BC. Southern kingdom led away in 586 BC. And the southern kingdoms were allowed to return. That's the eighth point. And there's three returns. We use the word Zen. It's just to remember. We don't believe in Zen Buddhism, okay? It's the first return was under Zerubbabel. 50,000 people. He was a descendant of David. You'll see him in the genealogies of Joseph and Mary. Then the second one was 70 years later under Ezra. Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. Ezra rebuilt the people. He was a priest, a scribe. And then Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. Okay, and Nehemiah and Ezra were contemporaries. The New Testament's a little bit harder. But birth, ministry, death, ascension, death, resurrection, and ascension. That's Savior. There's 5 points. The church. I'm a little fuzzy on the New Testament as much. Pentecost is the first day of the church. Preaching to the Jews, preaching to the Gentiles, and persecution. Then you have end times, which you have the end times is the main category. And then it's the rapture. Each one of these ends in a judgment. The Bema Seat is the judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema Seat of Christ. The tribulation ends in the Battle of Armageddon and the judging of the sheep and the goats. And then you have the end of the millennial. Millennium ends in the great destruction at the end, where Satan is loose for a season and he draws them in, and so they're all destroyed there. And then the last point, point number 12, is eternity. And there's only 2 points. You're either a believer and you spend eternity with God, or an unbeliever and you spend eternity away from God in the lake of fire. So that's the entire Bible. You think I could preach that fast otherwise? You know, it doesn't work that way. So you spend 50 minutes talking about 3 verses. And now you could do the whole Bible. You do it about 5 minutes fast. I've used it in Bible studies and homes and stuff. But it's just a way to learn. I tell you, I took Old Testament law, history, and poetry as a class, whole semester class, 3 semester hours. And then another whole class in Old Testament prophets. And I took a whole other 3 semester class of New Testament survey. And I still couldn't figure out how it all went together. So I figured out this, and everything then, it helps you. It's just kind of an outline or a skeleton that everything else hangs on. And you're like, oh, I know where that goes. All the prophets fit into that. You know, the last historical book of the Old Testament is Nehemiah. Did you know that? All the prophets fit in before or during that time. Except maybe Malachi might have been written right after. But all the prophets are not historical books. They're prophetic books. So it's pretty easy once you get there. Because then as you're reading, you can kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. It's kind of like I started doing genealogy about 15 years ago. I knew there was a civil war, but I didn't know when it started and when it ended, kind of stuff like that. I don't know that I had the best instruction in that, or maybe I was just stupid and it ran out of my ears or something. But now that I've done some of that, I know that my great-great-great-grandfather and his wife-to-be got married in 1837. And 1836 was the Alamo. How do I know that? Because I know 1837, you know, and stuff like that. So everything has a skeleton. 1861 to 1865, by the way, for the Civil War. Because I have two relatives that fought in the Civil War. So now all of a sudden I know something like that. But it's nice to have a skeleton to do that. But we'll probably do that one of these times, work through that outline again. I do it at least probably once a year here at Northridge. So. But you can learn it without any notes. It's that easy. But the notes are there too, so... For the website? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Steven's redesigning our website, so I'm waiting for that to happen. Mine's so clunky, it's hard to function. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the history that you record. And even who we are, these 20 generations, we have at least 10 generations in common with Abraham, physically, and also... In a sense, he's our spiritual father, as you would relate in the Old Testament, how through him all the nations of the world would be blessed. I pray, Lord, that you would just use the next 4 weeks, while we're not in this study, the timeline of truth, to encourage us and challenge us in different ways, both through Ken Ham and Ethan, and even with our communion. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.